Hey everybody, welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, episode 280. 280 episodes. How are you? I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you're feeling good, feeling dandy, feeling dapper. Hi, it's me, Vince, your host for this week's episode and all episodes. How are you? There's some things I want to talk about today, some fun stuff, a lot of news. I don't have my watch on. Give me a second. I feel naked without it. Sorry, if I don't have my own little Pip-Boy thing on, I don't feel right. I need it. Left the house the other day without it on, and I felt naked the whole time. How are you? Just to get right into it, this comes to us by way of Twitter. I first saw this from @TunnelSnakesFool. The picture will be on screen. I'll read what Tunnel Snake said, but I'll also read what is said on the Reddit from r/FOTV, actor in a costume for a vault ritual. So you can see next to me is some sort of like almost like vestments. Like I would picture some sort of like priest, maybe a burial. Maybe this is like the day everybody gets to leave whatever vault we're about to talk about. Just something. Tunnel Snakes herself says, IMO, this set was intentionally leaked to generate hype, and yet it worked on me. And it's cool. It's really cool. I'd like to see where this goes. I'd like to see if they take this vault in some sort of a culty, like religious culty type way, and see if it has something to do with who, like kind of how the Brotherhood early, like Fallout 1, Fallout 2, the Brotherhood is like a pseudo cult, someone who like worships technology and like is trying to defend the world from a certain way. I'd like to see if maybe something like that is in development for this vault, or maybe it's they're reworking vaults in a sense where there's a subset of vaults that have some sort of a culty kind of feel to them, where they believe in vault tech in such a massive way, where they believe that this is what, like, this is the new way of the world. I think it's neat to see this. I wish there was more to be leaked, but we're going to be getting the first real trailer, I'm assuming soon, if not December, then January, because the show comes out in April, I believe it is. So I thought it was cool. Here it is on screen before we move on to the next subject. But bam. So let me take you back to the far off year of 2001. Right? 20-something years ago, 2001. Show of hands. Can anybody in the back of the class maybe? Anybody know what happened in 2001? It was a pretty big event, a life-changing event for most people, at least most Americans, I would say. Is that, did I just hear it back? Yeah, exactly, Shrek came out. So if you're like me and you have fond memories of 2001 going to see Shrek in the movie theater, then maybe you heard about this. Two things got leaked on like the same day, Shrek 5 and GTA 6. And I'm going to read what I have right here. I couldn't find it directly because everything I found was just memes. So if what I'm reporting on right now is a meme, and this is another, like, local old man gets duped by phony-ass articles, then maybe it is. But this news comes to us by way of Screen Geek. I'll link the article, but also I will link, or next to me will be the picture that I'm about to be referencing. Someone on Twitter who goes by the Disc Father tweeted something out, and from everything I read about this, it was like an accidental intern leak that it just consumer products intern, research marketplace trends for presented findings, visited retail stores, Walmart, Target, Marshalls, Nordstrom, Hobby Lobby, Home Goods, Kohl's, Hot Topic, Box Lunch, identified with space, and then general consumer products ideas for the following projects. Wicked Part 1 and 2, Universal Pictures 2024 and 2025, Despicable Me 4, 2024, Shrek 5, 2025. Selected as one of 500 interns out of an application pool of 50,000 students. So some intern just said that Shrek 5 is coming out in 2025. And I don't know about you kids, but that gives me reason to be alive for a little bit longer. There was like talks about that the entire original cast is like super excited to do it again. and it's just so funny to me that it just won't, like, it won't go away, and I don't want it to go away, but it just doesn't go away. It's Shrek, man. You remember Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life? I hated those memes as a kid. It made me uncomfortable. I never understood kid thing scary or kid thing sexual or anything like that, but it's just, like, I got excited to be like, yo, we Shrek 5? Like, to think that there's, like, an entire generation of kids that didn't grow up with Shrek. And I wonder if kids watch Shrek today, the original, and are like, oh, why does it look like garbage? Because I remember, like, watching it being like, wow, this looks great. This looks fantastic. I like the part in the beginning where he farts in the swamp and it made the bubbles. I'm a dog biting fart bubbles in a bath. Just, what a weird way for it to get leaked. And we're going to talk about something else that I'm rather excited about coming up shortly in the third segment. But I really would like to get into this week's lore. Before I get into lore, I have to thank the Patreon. Now, because of the Patreon, the show can continue to get bigger and better. And these are people that support the show, that see something in the show, that want to make it bigger and better. And there's some people that I have to thank. There is a $1 tier all the way up to a $10 tier, and the $10 tier, which I think is the best tier, gets you into the film live before a studio audience tier, where you get to watch these episodes filmed live. Now, this week, I had to take care of, so this is filmed ahead of time, so I didn't have time to organize the film live audience, but usually there's people here with me. Starting from the top of people I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Milhouse. Thank you to Mellow Milhouse. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. Again, there is a link in the description if you'd like to check out the Patreon, help support the show, see it get bigger and better and faster and harder and stronger. You could change your tier at any time. Thank you for just checking out the show, not even throwing a dollar or two my way, but just watching it. And if you get a chance, share it with a friend, put it on Reddit, share it with someone who's a Fallout fan. I appreciate you sticking around, showing up, stopping by. We got some lore to talk about. Now, usually I go on to Patreon every week and I ask a poll question, and people that are in the Patreon have their voices heard in what the week's lore is going to be. Like I said, between me not being able to go to Fallout New Vegas Day and my plans for this week and everything getting mixed up and switched around, I had to just record this ahead of time at an earlier date to fit my schedule. So I didn't ask a poll question, but if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever, check out the Patreon, because even at the $1 tier, yes, the $1 tier, the cheapest tier they offer, your voice could be heard weekly when I ask a poll question about what lore from the Fallout universe you'd like to hear. And usually it comes from a poll question, but this week I chose the lore. So this week the lore is on Arroyo, the settlement from Fallout 2. In the year 2162, the Vault Dweller is exiled from Vault 13 and finds their way north to Oregon, from California to Oregon, to the town of Arroyo, which they find the town of Arroyo. What was once a tribal village would become a major settlement after the Chosen One finds the Gek in the year 2242. So there's a bit of a discrepancy that I couldn't find anything directly on the wiki, and I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com. I couldn't find anything on the wiki that said directly that Arroyo is NCR territory. It would make sense that they are because of Vault 13 and everything, and just Shady Sands. Eridesh leaves Shady Sands to go look for Vault 13 and the Vault Dweller, and he dies while looking. So it would make sense to me that if Arroyo was found, Arroyo at some point would become part of NCR territory. The only problem with it is it's so far north. If I remember correctly, I couldn't find an exact pinpoint of it, but it's in Oregon. It's like the Portland area. So it's right next to Washington. So it's very, very high up. It's not said that it is NCR land, but because it's such a grown settlement, it's a settlement that has so much extra agriculture and extra time and influence put into it because it's an older settlement. It's not as old as Shady Sands, but Arroyo has a Gek, as I'll get into. It wouldn't surprise me if they're like a territory, like how the U.S. is Puerto Rico, where Puerto Rico gets a lot of the U.S.'s benefits, like unemployment, I'm pretty sure, and I'm pretty sure like Medicaid, welfare, stuff that the U.S. offers. If you're a Puerto Rican citizen, you have access to that because of it being a territory. So I wouldn't be surprised if Arroyo is played kind of in the same realm as the U.S. has Puerto Rico. May of 2162, the Vault Dweller defeats the Master and his army, only to be kicked out by Overseer Jacqueline, so the other Dwellers will not follow in their footsteps. But a small group from Vault 13 did leave the Vault in search of the original Dweller after hearing what he did and what had happened to him. They finally came in contact with the Vault Dweller, and without the Vault Dweller's help, the Dwellers that left Vault 13 would have died because they had no real sense of the world outside of their vault. They would then later go north several hundred miles away from where Vault 13 is, and they would find the town of Arroyo, and the construction of it would complete by the August 18th, 2167. So about 5 years after all of this happens, the town of Arroyo is complete and it is in a livable state. Now, the word Arroyo comes from the Spanish word for brook, usually a dry creek bed or a gulch that fills with water after heavy rains. And if you look at what Arroyo looks like, you can see that there is a gulch, there is a cliff, there is a chasm that is there that very much could fill up with something. It's not as deep as like a creek. It's much deeper than a creek. A creek is very shallow, but very much the idea of that is there. At first, the village would send scouts to Vault 13, but slowly that came to an end. The Vault Dweller and their partner would eventually go on to lead. So what I think is really interesting about seeing how settlements develop in the Fallout universe is what branch of democracy, what branch of leaderships you see, and it becomes an elder system where there's an elder, and the elder has say. It's not a matriarchy, it's not a patriarchy, it's very much just, this is the person in charge. It's originally the Vault Dweller and their spouse, it says, and it's left ambiguous because you could have played male or female character. You also could have had a male or female spouse. And Elder, when you start Fallout 2, is the daughter of the Vault Dweller. So maybe you couldn't have a same-sex couple, or maybe they just adopted. Maybe someone in the village was killed and they took the kid. It just says that the little girl is born. So, you know, it's open for any sort of interpretation. Because of the Vault Dweller taking the reins and leading the village, they would teach the others all of the ways that they learned during their time trying to find the water chip, exploring outside of the vault after the game, defeating the Master's arm, and they would teach the settlers of Arroyo hunting, farming, engineering, and warfare. By 2188, the Vault Dweller and their spouse would have a daughter, and this daughter would go on to be the settlement's elder, which I'll get into a little bit later, but when you start the game, the woman you speak to is this elder. She's the one who tells you about the prophecies, everything that was left behind, all of the stuff that you have to go fill being the chosen one. Now, January 16th of 2208, the Vault Dweller would leave Arroyo, leaving their memoirs and their Vault 13 jumpsuit behind. Now, because of it being a tribal society, and things are written, things are spoken, but it's not kept in the same exact way we would keep notes today, some people say the sky spirits took them, and others claim that it was just their time to move on. The village would look for the Vault Dweller for what they called a moon cycle, which is just about a month. If you really think about it, when the moon changes and looks like the same thing as it did a month ago. But after that, they decided to stop looking for the Vault Dweller. By February of 2208, the Vault Dweller's daughter begins training for the village elder. They studied in various sciences, mathematics, and weapon skills. By 2210, the Mystic Test happens from, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but Hakyunin, a tribal member of the tribe of Arroyo, inside of their garden, the soon-to-be elder takes several pots of hallucinogenic plants, running the temple trials to become the elder. She passed most of it because of her charm after her gun had jammed. She gave her feedback on it, and because of the way she felt about it, she thought this could be changed, that could be changed. They changed a lot of it because of her. 2 days after her trial run, she became the elder and was greatly respected for her wisdom and her steady hand on most matters. By March of 2221, the elder gives birth to the chosen one. No father is recorded, which I thought was interesting. I thought it was neat that there is just a historic figure who we don't know who one of their parents is, even though we could follow their lineage and see this is, I don't have it written down, but there's somebody that you speak to in Arroyo that is technically your cousin. the Vault Dweller is your grandfather. You play as the grandchild of the character from the first game. By 2241, the worst farming season in years happens, killing many of the crops and the Brahmin. The Elder reads an old hollow disk with a Gek advertisement and decides it was destined for the Vault Dweller's grandson or granddaughter to go find the Gek. Now, I never realized this until I recorded some footage beforehand before doing this, that the intro video with the Gek is the advertisement they speak about. I never put two and two together because when I read Holodisc, I assumed it was just text. I assumed that they could read here because of their descendants of Vault Dwellers. Vault Dwellers would know how to read. So I thought it was just that. But they show you this video that's an advertisement for the Gek saying your vault will have a Gek inside of it. And I thought it was super neat. July 25th of 2241, the Chosen One takes their test in the Temple of Trials and 2 days later is off to find the Gek. So behind me should be footage of the Temple Trials. It's a lot harder than it should be. When I ran through it, I had my fists, and then I found a spear, and when I had the spear, I was still only hitting the scorpions and the giant ants 30% of the time. And then you have to fight a man to death. Like, not to death, but you have to fight a man who you're friends with, who knows you by name. I named my character Scrimbo, and by the time you get to the end, you get the jumpsuit, the Vault 13 jumpsuit that is left to you, that is your destiny, that this is what you are supposed to have. July 20th of 2242, Arroyo is attacked by Enclave soldiers, all in power armor. They came via vertibirds, and they had energy weapons. This is something that this small little village has never seen before. They're not dumb. They don't speak great English, but they're not dumb. They can read, they can write, presumably, they know how to cultivate, they understand agriculture to an extent. They're not dumb, but when you see 15-foot men in tank suits with giant energy weapons, and the tank suits get out of giant metal birds, it's something you've never seen before. The Enclave comes to capture the villagers, take them to the Enclave oil rig to do tests on them. And after this, the Chosen One realizes that he has a new mission, and it is to save the people of his village. Now, there's two groups of people that were used for FEV experiments, and they were put into clean and unclean. And this is where the eugenics of the Enclave starts to show up. The clean ones, Vault 13 dwellers untouched by radiation and were more pure, quote-unquote pure. To see how a clean bloodline would be affected differently by FEV and an unclean bloodline, Aurora citizens, people that have been out in the sun, that have been dealing with background radiation, they're not just constantly inside of vaults making sure that they're fine, that they didn't get hit with massive amounts of cancer, of radiation, be it on purpose or on accident. And they're taken to be exposed to the FEV to see how they, someone that the Enclave already perceives as mutants, when you go against Frank Horrigan, he refers to you as a mutant because you come from the town, the settlement, the village of Arroyo. And it's, your people are about to be experimented on. The FEV is about to be experimented on your people to see how they react because they have a little bit of radiation in them. Radiation doesn't kill you, it kills your bloodline. This is how both populations would finally come back in contact with each other. Now, in the fall of 2242, the Chosen One would destroy the oil rig and set the remnants of their people free, and they would return to Arroyo with the Holy Gek. So the Gek, the flask from Vault 13, are all considered holy items. They're considered items with some sort of a reverence. They have a holy, a mystic. They have a special power to them because of the way Arroyo, the people of Arroyo, conduct themselves. They very much believe that the artifacts that have been left behind for a reason, and because they know they come from Vault 13, but they're not quite sure where that is, it's considered an Eden, in a sense. A Mesopotamia, if you will. It's a place where we all came from. It's a pinpoint location of this is where it all starts from. Some of the other members that were on the oil rig, like I said, were Vault 13 members, and because they're so far away from Vault 13, they decide they're going to come back to Arroyo, because it's the two cultures finally meeting once again, and now it can be a prosperous city. behind me real quick, I'll put a picture up of what Ororo looks like once it has the Gek. That's insane that there's like real ass buildings and electricity. I mean, it could be candles, but still, that they have like real ass buildings and structures. Now, the community gets combined, and from the Vault 13 group, you have technical know-how and survival skills from the Ororo people, and together they build a stronger, more adept society. The Chosen One then becomes an elder and does that for many, many years. Now, what I thought was super interesting is the only time Ororo is ever mentioned in the games outside of Fallout 2 is one quick one-off sentence in Fallout New Vegas. If you talk to Emily Ortal, who is a follower of the Apocalypse, the courier can ask, how long have you been with the followers? And Emily Ortal will say, this is a partial quote, about 5 years. I have family back in Ororo. But this is where all of the good work is being done, so to speak. That's it. That is the only reference I could find outside of Fallout 2 to one of the most important settlements in the entire series. A settlement that, you know, maybe we don't have to see because it's already fully built, because it's back to what it really needs to be. There's not much to explore if what we have to explore is just a settlement-ass settlement that has maybe working roads and working vehicles. Maybe we don't need to see that, but we have to see everything else. We have to see where civilization has yet to succeed the way it has in the past. The tribal nature, this is just a fun fact for you, the tribal nature of Ororo's inspiration comes from the novel Earth Abides from 1949 by George R. Stewart. The main character survives an apocalyptic event and lives in a tribal society where they revere everything from the old world as important. It is some sort of important artifact from a bygone era. That's pretty much everything I have on Ororo, but I want to go over some of the more important structures that they have. Ororo has the Temple of Trials, where you go to see who you are, to test your abilities, and also at the end of it where they keep the Vault 13 jumpsuit. The village where people live, the hunting grounds, there's small bits of gecko, Xandaroo, Brockflower, healing powder. There's just, it's hunting grounds. I mean, it kind of speaks for itself. There's the canyon, which is just a small place, a small area with a couple of tents. That is the canyon that you cross through with the bridge. And then there's a destroyed bridge as well, which shows up later once you have the Gek. Arroyo is one of the most important settlements in the entirety of the series. I would argue Shady Sands might be a little more important, but Ororo is one of those that I feel like might be second, especially if they have like a functioning government, a functioning economy, a functioning way of life, and it's successful and it's small, I'm going to say it's the second. It was fun to cover Fallout 2. I haven't done any of the original Fallouts in a very long time, but I knew I could do this one. And I hope you've enjoyed, because that is this week's lore. So everybody, you've probably heard, it's probably something behind me related to what we're about to talk about, but Rockstar has officially said we'll be getting a trailer for GTA 6 in December. I want to read this real quick to you. I don't have every single quote from this tweet thread that Rockstar published because Twitter is dumb on it's dumb on desktop, especially if you're not signed in. But Rockstar, at Rockstar Games, tweeted, "Next month marks the 25th anniversary of Rockstar Games. Thanks to the incredible support of our players worldwide, we had the opportunity to create games we are truly passionate about." And again, like I said, I couldn't see all of this because Twitter on your desktop is dumb. In 1998, Rockstar Games was founded on the idea that video games could come to be essential to the culture as any other form of entertainment, and we hope that we've created games you love in the efforts to be part of that evolution. We are very excited to let you know that early in December, we will release the first trailer of the next Grand Theft Auto. We look forward to many more years of sharing these experiences with you. Thank you, Sam Houser. Which, I thought the Housers had left Rockstar. I hope I'm thinking of the right person. I might not be, whatever. We're getting GTA 6 sometime next month, and it's probably going to be, let me just double check what they said, hold on. They said early, so early could be anywhere from the 1st to the 15th as far as I'm concerned, and I heard rumors the game is going to be $150. I heard rumors the game is going to be free and you have to, like, you just download GTA 6 and then the world around you will change. And I've heard rumors that your character gets older as you play. And honestly, I don't think I mind the idea of buying or getting the game for free and then paying for the expansions. The only thing is I hope there is a physical edition of the game. I've heard rumors that the game cost $1 to $2 billion to make, and that's a whole hell of a lot of money, but GTA Online has made more money than, like, every Star Wars movie put together or some shit like that. Like, it's like Star Wars and GTA 5 Online have made a stupid amount of money. And I'm excited to see this. I'm a huge fan of GTA, the freedom that it gives you. I just think it's nuts that I've waited. I mean, this is a trailer. They're not going to say, hey, the game's out tomorrow, because that's just not going to happen. But I'm assuming we have another 2 years before the game comes out. That means I was in high school when it came out. And I think it's crazy because, like, I remember playing GTA 5 and my brother was like, oh, what's this? And it was new to him. And I was like, this is like the fifth or sixth one I've played. Like, I played 3, Vice City, San Andreas, 4, which is like the best one. 4 and San Andreas are the best ones. 5's fine. And I've even played some of the early stuff. I played Retro City Rampage, which isn't official, but it's so inspired by that early stuff. Like, I just think I played the Vice City, Liberty City stories. It's going to be in Vice City, which is going to be cool to see. I can't wait to see all the jokes about, you know, Brazilian butt lifts and TikTok and dancing. And did you guys hear that Baby Gronk rizzed up Livy Dunn? I keep seeing the Skibbity Rizzler or some shit on Instagram, and I don't get it, but it makes me laugh. I refuse to not know what's funny. Like, I refuse to, like, I don't want to be the old man who laughs at the kids' jokes, but, like, if something's funny, I want to know why people find it funny. I think it's super interesting that, like, you ever sit down and, like, break down a joke? You ever, like, really break down what makes a joke funny? It's fun. To me, it's fun. I'm probably just a fucking weird-ass old man, but whatever. GTA 6 comes out, and the last time we've seen Vice City was Vice City Stories, which is a fine game. I don't like the Vice City. I don't like Vice City that much. It's cool. Tommy Vercetti's a fine character. It's just, I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens with this. I'm excited to see if this is going to be a $150 game. I'm excited to see if this is going to be a free game. I want to know what tech was taken from Red Dead 2 and put into this, because I didn't like Red Dead 2 all that much. I hope the game isn't, like, immensely realistic, and I hope it's still fun. I also heard that the Hauser brothers had left, so I don't know who's writing these. And that was my biggest fear, because that was Sam Hauser. Maybe it's Sam and Larry, or Dave and Sam, or Dave and Larry. I don't remember. I thought they had left and started their own studio. And apparently I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I am. Who knows? But let me know what you're thinking in the comments below when it comes to the next Grand Theft Auto. I'm excited. I played a ton of GTA Online with my friends. I can't wait to play this new one. It probably won't even come out with multiplayer. Or the game itself might just be multiplayer. But there's a rumor that you're a woman. You've never been able to be a woman in the GTA before. And I'm excited for that. I'm just excited for this game, man. I just hope it's good. If it's not the same writing team, I just hope it's good. But anyway, that's all I have for you on this week's episode. My name has been Vince. If you like the intro music, it's by the one and only Shane Ivers. In the description, there is a link to his music where you can get all of his free stuff, silvermansounds.com/freemusic. But my song you can find on that website is called Feather Duster. There's a link to the Patreon. Give it a look. See if you like the show. If you enjoyed the program, check it out. Throw a couple bucks our way and see the show get a little bit bigger and a little bit better, a little bit stronger. There's also a link to the Redbubble, my Twitter, the show's Twitter, Kyle's Twitter. The Discord link is down there. Join the Discord and talk to a bunch of other Fallout fans. I hope you guys are enjoying yourself. I hope you guys are having a good time. I hope you guys know what's up. I hope you guys are happy. 27. I'll see you guys next week. I love you very much. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Ghoulman Entertainment.